Hello and welcome back to another episode of Atomic Geekdom. My name is Dave. As you can see, if you're watching us on YouTube, I'm joined by Jenny.
Hello.
We'll call her Stripe. for obvious reasons. And you can't tell it if you're not watching, but he is a very slim down in the face, Kyle.
Hi.
Kyle is working out. He's getting his steps in, going to the gym, pumping the iron, taking the steroids. He's on the Mark McGuire diet. Him and Sammy Sosa. No.
What a time to be alive.
Right now actually is a great time to be alive because we got good movies coming out. We got good television on our TVs. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, there's good music in my earballs. So the return to nu metal is in my earballs, and I'm loving every second of it. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You haters can shut up. Emo made a return. So is what? Go ahead.
I like that music is going to be a part of this conversation because it ties into other things that I'm very excited about. So,
sure. This weekend, as we're recording it, you can see the Intercontinental title behind my head there. And behind the Green Dagger, you see the Raw set. The words R-A-W is Raw right there. It's not war, I promise. There's action figures galore behind me. CM Punk has his place this way, I think. Anyway, it's a big weekend for your wrestling fan. There's like 48 hours of wrestling to watch this weekend and still one more event tonight to watch as we record this. So the All Ladies Evolution pay-per-view, or PLE, is happening tonight. So all women wrestling on WWE airwaves. It'll be great. It'll be fun. And hopefully we'll see the return of one AJ Lee to WWE for at least one more run. We'll see. All right. That's enough for wrestling for today. Ringside Geeks will make its return, probably for SummerSlam. We'll do a SummerSlam episode. That's a big event, but we'll hype that up now. Wrestling fans, we used to run a show called Ringside Geeks. It was a wrestling podcast. We would do many episodes a week and lots of things to talk about because there was lots of wrestling. But that kind of, we got exhausted ourselves. But so we'll bring it back for big events like SummerSlam, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, big happenings, news events of the day. We will bring that back from time to time, maybe just on TikTok for some things. Who knows? We'll see. But today we're going to be talking about movies that are out and movies that we have seen. couldn't get to the mute button. Sorry. So the big one we're going to talk about that is going to be spoiler heavy. So if you have not seen it yet, you might want to skip ahead. If you have seen it, join in the conversation. We'd love to hear what you have to say about the movie, what you thought, your grades and stuff. But if you do comment about the movie, please, please, please do not leave spoilers in the comments. That's no fun for anyone. Hang on, my volume is going crazy for some reason.
On a note with that too, so once a year I launch alerts for a lot of the other geek sites and such, just to see what's going on with San Diego Comic-Con. And some sites have no fear of just being like, so this happened, in the headline of their tweet, their whatever, you know, their Instagram. And I'm less like, bitches, dude, some people haven't seen it yet.
What show was it that had a huge spoiler and then the next morning they revealed the spoiler?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what show that was.
Into the conversation, I won't name the publication, but I'll name what they put up as their main headline today. I'm like, well, that takes the fun out of it.
I mean, they did that for Deadpool Wolverine last year. I was just scrolling through, which is, again, my fault, but scrolling through and I already see spoilers for that movie that had just had like its premiere at San Diego. And it's like, come on, guys, can we like at least 48 hours a spoiler free?
It was Doctor Who. Sorry. Oh, it was Doctor Who that did the spoiler that I was not happy about seeing the next day. Because it was a big deal. But they wanted the attention, so they gave away the spoiler the next day and their tweets and stuff.
I'm very conservative when it comes to spoilers, on the fact that I think there needs to be two full weekends on blockbusters that go into the theater, because I mean, just getting tickets to Superman this weekend was difficult. We didn't have the best seats. but we went and saw it. But some people will be like, all right, I'll buy tickets for next weekend. So I think 2 weekends is a good rule.
And for the movies that people aren't excited for, people will see it. They'll get word of mouth. They'll usually go the second weekend.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, your movies that people weren't expecting to be big, like your Matrixes and, you know, the unexpected blockbusters that you didn't know were coming.
Now, that said, I'm going to step on a soapbox and think, I think people are oversensitive on spoilers. Sure. I had somebody get very upset that I'm like, I love the return of the Red Underoos in Superman. And they're like, dude, ruin it for me. And I was like,
it's in every poster, every trailer.
It's in every trailer.
Like, it's on every toy.
They got really upset at me. And I was like, okay, this is dumb. But the one we will talk about later, so earmuffs for those who haven't seen it, or bookmark this podcast for 2 weeks after you see it, and then share. But yeah, there's an oversensitivity to spoilers right now, which I think is lame, but I do think that you have to have some etiquette to not be a dick.
Like Kyle said, you have to take responsibility of yourself too. Like, you know what's out there, so maybe, you know, wait a day or two. But at the same time, when you are being careful and still someone screws it up for you,
yeah,
that's not fun.
When you're when your whole hobby is looking at stuff online.
Porn? Sorry.
Yes, unfortunately, you are going to get into those situations where you are going to see that. Yes, you can mute certain keywords and everything, but honestly, I don't mute anything, and it's work, and I'm not here for work. I'm here as a hobby. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money.
CM Punk. All right. We are, of course, going to start things off by talking about Superman. Just Superman, not Superman Legacy. They dropped that off. I don't know when they dropped it off, but they did, because in my calendar, it was still listed as Superman Legacy from whenever I put the movie release date in my calendar. Because as a geek, I have all the movies in my calendar, and then they go ahead and move them all, but they usually don't change the title.
They're going to have to change the title for Supergirl.
Yeah, we'll talk about all of that in a second here.
Real quick, just on a joke note, too, my favorite social post this week was Dune Messiah has its official name. Dune Part 3.
And I was thinking about that. Is there a movie besides like an animated, really quick, animated movie that has gotten a Part 3? Besides Back to the Future. Okay, never mind.
Oh, Jurassic Park.
Lord of the Rings.
Jurassic Park 3.
Jurassic
Park 3.
It's just Jurassic Park 3. It is not a Part
3.
Part
3, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go on.
All right, back to what we're supposed to be mainlining here. Superman was supposed to be Superman : Legacy. And they dropped it to just Superman, which I think is genius, just perfectly fine. And as we'll talk about later, Supergirl was Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow, which is also based directly off of a book in which they're taking a lot of inspiration from, which they will get into it. Sorry. Read it, kids. Go read it before the movie comes out. And also read it. You'll understand the ending of this movie a little bit better. Instead of making stupid, stupid comments on the internet about behavior of teenagers. But we all saw Superman, and now we're going to talk to you about what we thought about it. First and foremost, we're going to give you a rating of 5. And we're doing this in honor of my cousin, because that's how he rated it to me when I asked him how it was when he went, because I couldn't go. So he took my ticket with a buddy of his, and I asked him, give me a number rating. He picked out a 5, which seemed odd to me, but I don't know why. I don't know what I was expecting, but he picked out a 5. He did 4 out of 5, Jason. There you go. You're on the show again without being here. 4 out of 5. Jenny, 5 out of 5.
I'm gonna go a little bit higher and say like 4.5. I don't think it's a solid 5, but I do think that it's a solid 4. And then there are elements that me personally pushes it just a touch over the 4.
Okay. Kyle?
Yeah, I definitely give it a 4 out of 5.
All right. So I'm going to earn my Hater Dave name again. and it's not fair because I didn't hate the movie. I'm going 3.5 out of 5. I had a lot of fun. Do not get me wrong. I enjoyed this movie. First movie in a long time that I did not nod off on at the theater. I did not snore. I did not sleep at all. I was by myself, so nobody can vouch for me, but I promise you, I didn't. It was early in the morning, too. I tried to go with my social anxiety. I didn't want to go. There was a whole bunch of people, and I like having my space. I'm a big guy. And so I went. There was not that many people there, mostly younger couples, stray dudes, geeks, fellow geeks, people that prefer to go to the movies by themselves, which I don't mind it at all. That's a good, it's a good date night for myself, or date morning, because it was 10:30 in the morning. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. I have things that I did not like about it, which are small. They're not, they didn't ruin the movie for me. Mm-hmm. They didn't ruin the universe for me. But I'll start right away with one glaring positive is within 15 seconds, we are now in a world that already exists with metahumans, meaning we have superheroes that are already here, have been here for decades that we know about.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to run through this garbage of, you know, what's Superman's origin? By God, we all know it by now. There's been 700 TV shows, a billion comics, books, movies. We get it. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, we don't need their origins ever again. Ever again. It's in the books. It's on the internet. Look it up if you really care that much. There's a million scenes of pearls dropping off of necklaces, asteroids falling from the sky, spiders biting teenage boys on field trips. We know how it works. We know what happens. We don't need it anymore. And thankfully, they didn't give that to us again. And you didn't get an origin story out of anybody in this movie, really. They threw very obscure heroes, unless you know your DC, you know, Justice League members. They threw Mr. Terrific at you, which, if unless you watched Arrow, you probably don't know too well. Or you're a comic reader, of course. So I'm not at all. If you know it, you know it. That's cool. I'm glad that you did. But I'm assuming the general audience does not know who Mr. Terrific is. Or Metamorpho. Again, if you watch the cartoons, you have a better knowledge of him. He was in Justice League Unlimited, I think, quite a bit. And then, of course, Hawkgirl, you might know as a general audience member. Oh, somebody did not get the note to silence their phone. They will be ejected from their studio in 3, 2, 1. No. No, I'm just kidding. So you gotta look at this is their beginnings of a Justice League, or AKA the Justice Gang, which Guy Gardner, the Green Lantern Guy Gardner, is avidly proposing as their name, and finally gets some support from Metamorpho at the end of this movie, that being the name that they go with, and that ingratiates him to Guy Gardner, and he allows him to become a member of the Justice Gang. I enjoyed all of their relationships with Superman. The first time Guy Gardner called him Supes, bravo, thank you. Somebody, finally, in live action, has called him Supes. Mm-hmm. And they were not talking about some TikTok host who... Never mind. I'm going to bite my tongue. It was a lot of fun. I thought, and I'm going to talk over you guys for a little bit. I'm going to steal the show here because Superman is not my guy. So I will say real quick how much I enjoyed it. But despite that, favorite character of the whole movie? Shockingly? Anybody want to take a guess?
Mr. Terrific.
No, but he was badass. Was Jenny, it got a guess?
Luther.
Close. He was number two. Number two. Jimmy friggin' Olsen stole the show. Are you kidding me? I did not expect him to have not only that much TV time, but be almost the hero of the goddamn movie. Mm-hmm. Like,
plus, the actor is awesome. Like, I fell in love with him in Santa Clarita's Diet. Like, he's just... Yeah. Awkward, and he's mm-hmm. a perfect cast. I think they did casting, like,
yes,
hands down, some of the best.
Phenomenally cast. Well. Yes, phenomenally they well. Everyone make. Fit. and the fact that Jimmy is a ladies' man. Like they all want him. And, mm-hmm. like, even so much that Lois says, how do you do it? Like, she doesn't even know. Like, it's perfect. I love that Eve Tessmacher has a crush on him. That was outstanding. When he got the text and it said from Mutant Toes, I'm like, oh, here we go. It's an Easter egg. And I'm thinking, who could this be? Who could this be? I'm like, well, I wonder if they're going to pay that off. Next scene paid off. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have to wait for him very long. But it was great. It was so funny. And it was so good. And I actually feared for her. Like, I hate... Usually, I don't like Lex's ladies that are around him. They're usually pretty annoying. Although on Smallville, Tess Macher was fine. Although she was just Tess, right?
She was just Tess, yeah.
Yeah, she's like an amalgamation of Tess Macher, of a couple of characters on Smallville. And then kind of made up because she's Lex's family too, right? Like sister or something?
Yeah, yeah. This was, for Smallville, I think that was the first time that Lex had a sister. And then right. It grew into Lena for... Supergirl.
Right. Anyway, Nicholas Holt as Lex was outstanding. So well done. Great job. And to think that he went in trying to be Superman as to get the role and it was not going to even try for Lex, but they asked him to just read with the actor that's playing Superman, and he did and David said, "I don't want anybody else but him as Lex. Like, he's my Lex."
Too, that is like he, you know, there's all the posts going on about, you know, I want to see an immigrant take down a billionaire. He played the role perfectly because, like, you just saw the drive and motivation for just more, more, more. Mm-hmm. And then the pettiness of just like the jealousy and ego he has against Superman, he nailed it. Like every facial expression, every temper tantrum, every like grandstanding, like he did a splendid job as Lex.
Proposing to open a donut shop in this Lex Luthor country.
Yeah. Hashtag super shit.
Yes. Monkeys. Monkeys are our Twitter bots, guys. I have no doubt in my mind that Trump uses monkey bots as his form of controlling the narrative on Twitter and on social media all around. That's and Fox News, but they're all monkey brain guys anyway. But no, we're joking. Did we all enjoy how woke Superman? Did we enjoy how woke Superman was? Is anybody at all upset with just how blatantly woke this movie was?
I would like to take this talking point because he has always been. He's punched Nazis. He's taken.
Well, stop, let me stop.
He is literally the reason of the demise of the Klan in the 50s and 60s because kids reading Superman would go to their parents and be like, "The Klans are the bad guys," and parents are like, "What?" Because they didn't have that propaganda to say to move them away from being just shitty people. So Superman has always been this. I do appreciate, though, that it is art imitating life because there are a lot of parallels to what's going on right now. There is a lot of how social media can take a good person down for just gossip. And there's the war that he stopped because he's like, people were going to die. It was a valid, good effort. Yes, should you question somebody having that much power? Absolutely. But the president at that time of that country kind of resembles somebody that we know. And Luther kind of resembles somebody we know. So I think right now with it coming out with how polarized and how... excuse my language, fucking ugly this country is right now. I think it hit the nail on the head, and I don't think it was over the top. I think it was great storytelling that allowed the audience to relate to it. So, okay. So, box.
Well, first, Kyle, let me ask you, and I think Jenny knows the answer to this as well, but I'm going to ask Kyle just because he hasn't talked in a while. Kyle, who created Superman?
Jerry Siegel and... someone I can't remember, but they were both Jewish immigrants from the 30s who created Superman. So,
right, I was going to say, what was their main? What's the main thing that you want to know about those two men before you go any further?
They're Jewish immigrants. They came over to this country.
Correct, and it's Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Ah, thank you.
What was their vision of Superman?
you know,
It's too obvious. It's too obvious. It's, they wanted somebody like them as a hero who stood for justice and truth and the little guy while also being ostracized for being different. He is the X-Men. It's the same thing. These people are helping humans, even though they're hated by humans.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they all just want equality and they all want to be treated the same. And herein lies now, getting back to the movie of it all, the fun of it. Now we'll get away from the blurred lines, as it were. Here's the part where I didn't like. How are you going to tackle the evil elves? His parents now are evil. They sent Clark to rule us on this planet. What did you think about that, Kyle?
That was a very, very much a new direction that has never really, I mean, maybe in some Elseworld story, but it in main continuity has never happened. My whole thing, how they can get around it is just do the beliefs of Superman. He is their parents' kid, but he's also
which they showed at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
With his replacing.
Yes. Yeah. So he's taken those values way more to heart than what Jor-El and Lara-El had for him.
Jor-El played by?
Bradley Cooper. Rocket Raccoon fame. And then the other one, Lara-El, I've seen her before.
Westworld. She was awesome in Westworld. Yes. She was one of the androids.
Yes. Yes. And then in the Fortress of Solitude, we'll just get through the cast. We as voices for some of the robots. You had Alan Tudyk as Gary.
Alan, do no wrong, Tudyk.
And then you
four, aka Gary.
Yeah, four Gary. And then you had Pom Kelf.
Try it one more time.
Pom. I can't.
How do we know her? How do we know her?
We know her as Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's Pom Klemetev, I think.
See, it is hard to say.
I'm going off the pronunciation that's on Wikipedia.
Now I'm going off of memory, so you're better than me.
I got it in front of me. That's I'm not trying harder. I'm cheating.
Those voices were fine. Alan Tudyk steals every scene. I was as a comic book guy, I was hoping he would just call himself or Superman would give him the name Kalix, but Gary is for comedic value, and I'm okay with it.
You might also know Pom from the last two Mission Impossible movies.
Yes,
the two Dead Reckoning movies. Yes, and she is Canadian, so that's French. That's her name. She's French Canadian from Quebec.
From Quebec, Canada.
But yes, she was one of the voices, and then did you mention Rooker? Rooker's a voice of one of the robots.
Because I really didn't even hear him. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it could have been someone else, but yes, I know he was credited as a voice of one of the robots. And then I know another Lex did make.
Well, hang on, I'm not done with the robots yet. I'm not done with the robots. I'm sorry. So Rooker.
My two quick cents about Alan Tudyk being as a robot.
Hang on, let me get through the actors though that were voicing him, and then you can go free. So you had Pom, we had Rooker, Alan Tudyk, of course, Gunn's wife Jennifer Holland from Super Suicide Squad was another voice, and I think that's it. Let me just double check. Yes, okay, that's all of them. Go ahead, Jen.
That's one of my nitpicky, I don't think it's a complaint, but I don't know how I feel about it because I love him so much. Like everything he does, Resident Alien, Mandalorian, and all of that. But
K2SO?
K2SO. That's where I'm a little like it falls flat to me because 4 is just K2SO.
Here's the funny thing. Alan Tudyk during press for Andor season 2 said, I think this is my last robot. And then here's Superman. Like, I think he expected us to all know that he was the robot, but I don't know. It comes off as, surprise, I got one more in me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with it because he's a great robot, and I love it. I love his snarkiness. I love the very flat deliveries of things. Like, I love it. But I also was like, I've seen this, you know, so it's not a complaint, but it was kind of a sticking point. I'm like, I will always take him as a robot,
so but here's I've the thing.
Seen this robot.
Sure. I'll go back and Kyle, I'll come back to you for those, the Lex part. With the Alan Tudyk of the DCU, if he never returns as the robot again, that's fine. There's still a chance he can. He's not dead. He was rebuilt, so he could. Gary will likely return, I imagine, which is fine because we're never going to see K2 again, ever again, and that makes me very, very sad.
I like it. It's like he's been morphed into a new world, you know?
Exactly, yeah. His brain was downloaded into another robot. Yeah, his hard drive was just swapped over like the Millennium Falcon. No, so Alan Tudyk will return. He's already playing a voice in Creature Commandos as Dr. Phosphorus. He was also the voice of Clayface in Creature Commandos. Creature Commandos, of course, is connected. If you pay attention, Frank Grillo Sr. is in Superman, played by Frank... Oh, did I say Frank Grillo? I'm sorry. Randall Flaggs. Randall Flaggs Sr. is in Superman, played by Frank Grillo, who was previously in Captain America, and he died in Civil War when he was just killed by Scarlet Witch in a bomb explosion. He played Crossbones, just the character he played. He was a good guy for a while, but then we find out, oh no, he's Hydra, and he's a bad guy. Now he's a good guy, that's sure. His son was killed by Peacemaker in the Suicide Squad. In the Suicide Squad movie, but then he shows up on a mission for Waller and Creature Commandos, and he will return. In Peacemaker, right? That's the word? It didn't seem right to me when I said it. Season 2, which is in August. It's like one of those things where you say a word too often and you don't know if it's the right word anymore or it doesn't lost all meaning.
I did like the Peacemaker cameo in this movie.
That was great. Yeah, real quick interview that Superman steals all his shtick.
And of course, he just totally caves into like the... into the talking head point. He was like, yeah, I think we should watch these. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
I was not expecting Peacemaker to show up. And
which was a nice little moment.
It was. I was very like, oh, crap, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, having him show up.
And he wasn't in his tighty-whities, so it might be even better.
The reporter that was interviewing...
Michael Peacemaker. Ian Black, one of the best comedians on this planet. I was so happy to see him get work.
I thought he was going to be
not going to get canceled.
I thought he was going to be J. Gordon Godfrey for a second.
There's still a chance. There's still that chance. What do you mean?
Because I don't.
That could still happen. That's exactly what I thought. He's too big of an actor. I think a name to just be thrown in there, and he had a lot of screen time.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to do a Justice League on us where he's going to turn into something like that. We never got his name.
No,
We just got he works for the Sphere Network or whatever, the Sphere News Channel or something.
Yeah, which...
It's not GNN.
It's not GNN, it's not News 52, which I love those Easter eggs, by the way. They have them
some great Easter egg. Flag Industries was a sign I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Which I
did
also
you say
saw
flag or stag?
Stag, sorry. I meant stag. I said flag. But yes, so back to real quickly, Alan Tudyk will it be in live action form as Dr. Phosphorus? At some point, they have said that actors, voice actors, will have an opportunity to be their physical selves, and he included the Creature Commandos in that, even though they're very, very much animated creatures and characters. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be very exciting because they're all very cool, and And now, also as a cameo, real quickly, one of James Gunn's other best friends in all of his movies is a former Lex Luthor, Kyle.
Michael Rosenbaum, he voiced one of the Lex Raptors. I think it was in the Pocky universe that happened.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Also, Michael Ian Black played apparently Cleavis Thornwaite, so he did have a name.
Oh, okay.
But that could all change.
Sure, why not? But yeah, that was great to see Michael Ian Black there. I love him. His comedy is great. If you've never heard him, he's been on Reno 911 a ton. If you're a kid of the 90s, you knew him from The State. He's on The State, that comedy show. And then also Wet Hot American Summer. He had sex with Bradley Cooper in a toy shed. Good stuff. Also, we got to see a brief moment of Sean Gunn. He gets mentioned, his character gets mentioned early in the movie, but then we see him at the end of the movie as Maxwell Lord, mm-hmm. who is like crowdfunding or funding directly the Justice Gang.
He is, yes.
Like their corporate sponsor, basically.
Yes, as of as it was in the comics for Justice League International, he was bankrolling that group until Shock.
And then Flo Crawley is another Easter egg. She was in the Suicide Squad as an Argus member, and she returned again in the movie. You'd have to know who you're looking for to really recognize her. But
she was the one that hit Amanda Waller with the golf club.
Yes, at the end of the movie, yeah.
Yep.
Tinashe Kajis Bolden is her name. I'm probably not pronouncing it horribly, and I'm sorry. Yes, and then there was the engineer, who was also in the movie as well. It's another character, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Which you may or may not see her again in the Authority movie, because she's part of that squad. If she survived, I don't really know how that's going to work out. I don't think she did. Anyway, Ma and Pa Kent, what did we think about them?
Down to earth, Midwestern farm folk. They played their part well, and it suits them. It was great. It was a nice departure from like Smallville or Superman and Lois, or even Lois and Clark. I'd say for the big ones, they definitely changed up how Ma and Pa Kent were played, and Ma Kent is very sweet, and Pa tells the truth. Tells Clark exactly what he needs to hear. I like that.
I agree. I always found it weird that like Pa Kent is like sexy or like good looking and all of that. And I'm like, that is some, I just came from Metropolis type mentality. And these are supposed to be, you know, farm people, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. And, a friend of mine that we saw the movie with was annoyed because he felt like they made them dumb. And I absolutely disagree for the fact that, like, my parents are from Kentucky, and a lot of the interactions, like speakerphone and like, let me get your boots, those sort of things, is such an embedded kind of that Southern hospitality of that kind of small town feel. And just my experience, I think they nailed it. I love who they casted for both characters. And it just, it explained, going back to what you were saying earlier about his original parents not being as good as we anticipated, that twist. I think this cements the storyline of why he is such a good man. Is he comes from this good family that helped him. You know, they listened to him, and they gave him the love that you need, because love is as contagious as hate. Like, I thought they were perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to see more of Ma and Pa Kent in whatever medium that we get, either animated or the next movie, even though nothing has been discussed about a Superman 2 yet. That's still literally up in the air. But
well, Kyle, I want to really quickly hear. I'm sorry, finish your thought, and then I'll put in a dash your dreams.
No, that's fine. But apparently in Peacemaker season 2, there's going to be a big cameo near the end. So David Cornswit's Superman is going to be going to return the favor to Chris and just show up and, I don't know, humiliate him there.
Yeah. I have a question, and I don't know if you guys can answer this, and I have not researched it, but there is a story, and I don't know how truthful, that James Gunn based his version of Ma and Pa Kent after Richard Christie's parents from the Howard Stern Show. And if you know Richard Christie, like his, they always would play like voice messages. And he's like, "Hey, Christie," or "This is your dad," and all that. And he wanted to bring that in. I don't know if that is true, but I'm curious if there's a Howard Stern link to how his characters came about.
Pruitt Taylor Vince and Neva Howell played John and Ma Kent, respectively there. They studied tapes of the parents of the Howard Stern Show personality and charred walls of the damn drummer, Richard Christie, to develop the Kansan. Is what the spells. Weird. Kansan accents. They're from Kansas. Accents in the film. So there you go. Doesn't sound like it was Gunn. It was them that did it. But maybe through Gunn they did that. But yeah. I absolutely was up there with it. They dumbed them down. I felt. I have Southern people that are friends. My boss, a mentor of mine, is from Alabama, and you hear him talk, and you would think this guy doesn't know a lick of anything. And he's one of the smartest people I know. He's very cultured, very, you know, very modern, and not at all a cleanest of the act, a slack-jawed yokel from Simpsons. But I don't know. I'm gonna wait and see. They didn't get much screen time. They got a little bit of screen time. I wasn't happy with their portrayal. Not the performance. The performance was fine. Performance was great. I'm just not sure how I'm liking their characterization in this world yet. There's still time. There's plenty. I mean, it's one bit of one movie, so I have the right to wait, withhold judgment yet on Ma and Pa Kent, but I was disappointed so far. Now, the story they used them for was great. It worked. It was well done. Where it should be, it's the heart. It's his consciousness, his conscience should come from Smallville and should come from his parents that raised him. And that's Martha. Who? What name? Martha and Jonathan Kent. And I'm going to tell you this. The most devastating part of that movie, this movie we just saw together, was the Russian roulette scene that didn't go as long as Lex expected it to. That was devastating.
That cemented him as an evil, evil person.
Yeah.
I was actually shocked because usually studios, because of, you know, ratings and things like that, they would pull back on that.
Yeah.
But that drove home that not a good guy. You know, you can agree or disagree. You like a powerful empire, but yeah.
You introduce a sympathetic character trying to help Superman in the first act. You got to kill him by the third act. He has to die for Superman by the third act. Which leads me to this, fans of Ma and Pa Kent of this universe. Expect Gunn to rip your hearts out with one or both of those characters in the very near future of the Superman's legacy or saga in this universe. I expect that wholeheartedly. One of Superman's main villains will kill a Kent member in the future, in the near future.
Well, and we kind of hinted at that too, because he kept asking, "Where are you from?" You know, that sort of mentality of trying to figure out his core. They knew he was raised on Earth, but they didn't know where or how he was raised. So that's a good little hint.
I don't as a story point, I don't want that to happen, because then you will see unhinged Superman, and that unhinged Superman is only good for one thing, and that's against Darkseid. We're not there yet for Darkseid, so I don't want Ma or Pa Kent to die
from natural causes.
Fine. As sad as that sounds, natural causes is fine, especially for them.
Don't save me from a tornado. Stay there.
Especially that.
Can I add
we do have to move on, but
wait. I want one more little thing on this is in that scene is that yes, there was the dark scene with Luther and the Russian roulette scene and the hints that something might happen to his parents. But what makes this movie so great is even in the dark scenes in this, when the crowd turns against him, all of that, there is a vibrancy and there's a good, like, he didn't collapse. So mm-hmm. even if he is in his worst, like when he's arguing with Lois, you can see that frustration and it gives his character not, like, he's not just Mr. Rogers and having the great, you know, like, loves his neighbors. They gave him layers, but they have him, that character, in the world that I want Superman to be in, of no matter what chips are thrown, he is going to be the good guy. And so wherever it goes, I think the movie, that is the biggest success of this movie.
And really fast, we're going to rush through the end of this review because we're 40 minutes in and we still have other things to talk about that we're going to have to breeze through pretty quickly, unfortunately. Real quickly, another cameo, and it was Christopher Reeve's son, Will Reeve, was a reporter for ABC News. He was a correspondent, so he got to make a cameo there. And like we mentioned before, oh, I will say this about vibrancy you mentioned. This film, very colorful, yes. Very bright.
Yes.
Also, giant swerve pulled on everybody who likes to make snap judgments about photos you see from the first week of filming. What is the first photo James Gunn released of this movie? It is of Superman in his costume, beaten up with a fight in the background, right? The alien.
Oh, yeah.
Ended up not being an alien. It was a interdimensional.
Interdimensional being.
No, what was the exact word? Interdimensional.
Min?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. Because people are thinking. Yeah. Yeah, people think it's Mr. Mixelplick. They want to say that it possibly could be a version of him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an intergalactic or interdimensional nymph or something like that. And what did it end up being? Nothing. It's a conversation he's having with Lois while the Justice Gang is got it under control. They're just having some fun with him. You see the Green Lantern hitting it with a large baseball bat every so often, some cool stuff happening with T-Spheres shooting lasers at it, and Hawkgirl just being amazing. Fan for life? Me, the actress that plays Hawkgirl. Whoa.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's from The Last of Us, right? Last of Us.
Yeah.
Among
other, Madam Web. She's been in a few things, yeah.
She was Dora.
Madam Web.
That's right. She was Dora.
Also, Clark's apartment, way better than Lois's. How much is Clark getting paid compared to Lois? Just shocks me. Lois should be getting paid more. She's a Pulitzer Prize winner, although we don't know about that in this universe.
Women have been fighting that battle for years.
Didn't she win the Pulitzer Prize from the interview with Superman? She hasn't had it yet.
Correct.
She got it.
She also, hands down, fabulous casting.
Oh, this...
Yeah, yeah.
This Rachel, cast... Rachel. Is fantastic. Yeah. Also, a five of this cast had birthdays this week leading up to the release of Superman. And I'm like, you cannot plan that any better, even though it really wasn't planned on their part. But yeah, no, casting wise, everyone spot on for what they needed. I was, I will talk about it in depth on Lantern's TV Talk. But Guy Gardner. Yeah, that's right. I dropped it. Guy Gardner was fantastic. Nathan Fillion had a great time playing this character.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Probably the most hated character in the movie, though. Aside from Lex.
Intentionally.
Like, he's an asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's an asshole in the comics, right?
So, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's portrayed perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, again, we are of the cloth.
Can I throw in, I know we're in a rush here, but I have to throw in my favorite part of this movie is the soundtrack. In the movie, I leaned over and I just looked at Patrick and we both went, the scene with Mr. Terrific where he walks in and there's the Noah and the Well song. That Noah and the Well song is one of the first songs I put on a compilation for Patrick when we started dating. And I'm like, this is a deep cut, like, of pulling the song. And it's on an album that's a complete breakup album. So it, like, fit the scene because it was right after Lois and Clark had their fight. Like, it moved into that. So it, like, fit perfectly. And then to end the movie with Teddy Bear. With Iggy Pop's voice, just like as a punk rocker, I'm like, oh, it brings back how excited I was with like the Guardian soundtrack. The guy knows how to pair up really cool music to fit the scene perfectly.
Mm-hmm. So
that's my favorite part is, you know, I know it's not a Superman scene, but him just leading people up to a breakup song.
What about the fictional punk band that actually had a song in the credits?
So rad. I want to see more of them.
I wonder who they are, though. I have a feeling one of them may be one of our future heroes.
Ooh. Well, we'll see. I'm intrigued.
I think it's more than just a band in the movie. I think it's an Easter egg. Well, we'll see.
Oh, wait. Black Canary.
Maybe.
Just throw it all away already. Just don't let people get their own. Don't let people get their own guesses.
That was my guess.
I was intentionally not making any guesses. All right.
John Williams score, perfect. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to really quickly touch on the credit scenes, just because they were there.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not seen this movie, we can kind of talk about it now. There are two credit scenes. Make sure you stay till the very, very, very end of the movie, or you will miss it. If you miss it, it is okay. They are not integral to the story. They're just, one is a very cute little scene with Crypto and Superman on the moon. You've seen the picture already. It's been on the internet. Before the movie was even released, it was just like a production picture. The second credit scene is, in my opinion, open to interpretation, but in my opinion, it is very much subtext. The Snyder Bros talking to James Gunn. The Snyder Bros being Superman, James Gunn being Mr. Terrific. Staring at the cracked building that Mr. Terrific helped repair is still just a little off, and Clark can't just keep his mouth shut. He's got to mention that it's just a little off. And then Mr. Terrific kind of freaking out about it is James Gunn saying, I'm going to repair your universe. That was almost good. Almost good. And we're just gonna do this. And you're still not happy. And that's to me worth that as saying. It's a little just a little nudge at that saying, let's have some fun with this, guys. You don't like my movie? Don't see it. Move on. We're not bringing back the Snyder or anything anymore. This is where we're going. Get on board or get out the motherfucking way. And I'm done. Snyder Bros. Now, want to get me that air cut of Suicide Squad? I'll sign that petition. But we're not getting more air anything in that universe. So I'll take the air cut. That's all I want. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very quickly, what's coming up for the DCU real fast. We should talk about that since we're on this topic. And for you guys to know, if you don't already know, film-wise, just building this phase, if you want to call it this chapter, I think they're calling them. Chapter one is Gods and Monsters, which is a theme in the comic books for a certain era of books or a series of books or something like that. It was also an animated movie, which I don't think they're drawing anything from, but just throwing that out there. So the first movie was Superman. The second movie will be Supergirl. That'll be in June 26th. If you want reading material for that, read Woman of Tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right, so June 26th, next year. After that, the only movie that has a date so far is the Clayface movie, and that'll be next year on September 11th. Never forget. But the plan is they want to have two movies, several TV shows, animated or live action every year. That's mm-hmm. their plan for DC. So there's your two movies for next year. In the works for this Gods and Monsters chapter are The Authority. Google it. We'll talk about it when the movie gets closer. They didn't start casting or anything like that, so we're not going to talk about it. The Brave and the Bold, which is Batman and Robin. This Robin is Damian Wayne, his son. So we already have, again, a lived-in Batman where he's run the gamut, hopefully, of other Robins. We're not going to skip any, I hope. And then we have now reached Damian Wayne, which I think is going to be fun. But that's just me. Because I think the only young Robin you can do is his son. Without being too weird. You can't have a teenage boy that he's adopted and throw him on the mean streets of Gotham as a superhero without it being a comic book and people being like, this don't look right. And finally, the last film of this phase or chapter is Swamp Thing, which is directed by James Mangold, who brought you Logan in the last comic book movie he made.
That might be my most anticipated. Like, I really am excited for Supergirl, but hands down, that's the one I'm most excited about.
I should say the director for Brave and Bold is Andy Muschietti, who did the It movies and also the last, I'm sorry, I have to say it, he did the Flash movie. But it's cool that they kept him because visually he's a great director. So mm-hmm. give him a good script, which I believe James Gunn will approve only good scripts. So
well, and the thing with him too is I don't know if that movie was directly impacted by him. I think that movie had so many issues in it.
Studio actors,
all of that. It was just a perfect storm of this is not going to work type thing.
Also, the Clayface movie is written by Mike Flanagan. So that's going to be pretty damn great. Other movies announced with no dates. Real quickly, we're going to rush this because we're going to move on to TV shows. Then we're moving on to other things. Untitled Teen Titans film, Untitled Bane and Deathstroke film, Sergeant Rock, Untitled Wonder Woman film, and the Untitled Justice League film. So there you go. That's other films. No idea any release date or development date or where they fall within any chapters, but that's where they are. So now we move on to the television series.
Wait, real quick too, though. I do like that James Gunn said that none of it is going to have the same look. Like he's going to allow each title to stay specific to the look that it should be in. So they're not going to try to make Swamp Thing look like the Superman movie and et cetera, which I totally appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the only thing he's going to have real creative control over is script approval. Once he gets a script and he doesn't like it, he's moving on. He won't start a movie until he's got a script that he's ready to green light. So that's a good thing. All right. So television series. We just had season one of Creature Commandos so far. That was 7 episodes that ended in January of this year. I believe we're getting more of that. I'm not 100% sure.
Season 2 is greenlit.
There you go. Peacemaker Season 2 has 8 episodes that start up at the end of August. Lantern Season 1 is 8 episodes. That'll be early 2026. Nathan Fillion has already gotten on record saying it is the most times he's ever said the F word in anything he's ever worked on in his life.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the Garden of the Lantern series. Announced, I think these are official. Again, these are all part of Chapter 1. The Waller series, which is Amanda Waller, who runs the Suicide Squad and many other nefarious governmental things. Paradise Lost, which I believe is a Themyscira thing?
Yes, maybe? I think it's based on a character, or based around the character, not Nabu.
Artemis? Oh.
Maybe. Yes, go on.
The series is a political drama about the scheming and power struggles on the all-females island of Themyscira before the birth of Wonder Woman. So this was talked about before with Patty Jenkins about doing this, but there was a 2001 comic book story arc by Phil Jimenez and George Perez about a civil war at Themyscira. So they're going to do it. They're comparing it to Game of Thrones, is what Peter Safran and Gunn said. So there you go. That's the series that's going to be. For Kyle, ready made for him. Chapter 1 probably goes out with TV series Booster Gold.
Yes.
That is his most awaited film. Mm-hmm. Jenny, do you know who Booster Gold is?
I don't.
He is Kyle, the world.
As I mentioned, the next three, why don't you find your figure and show her what Booster Gold looks like?
Yep.
He's got to be right behind you.
Oh, yes.
We got the Untitled Blue Beetle series, which I believe is still starring the same man who was in the Blue Beetle movie.
Yep.
Who is
was also in Cobra Kai.
Yep. Another Creature Commando season. There we go. There's that. And then the Mr. Miracle series. So that's three of them that have been announced with no dates. So there you go. There's the future of the DCU. We hope you're as excited as we are. My cousin said the only thing he didn't like about this movie was that it gave him hope for good movies in the DCU. Because now he has a hope again. All right. So very quickly, you guys saw two other movies this week or recently. Do your best to give us some non-spoiler reviews and not go too deep into it because we're running out of time. I apologize. We took a lot of time up with Superman, but we're all very excited because we all agreed it was a good movie, and it's been a while since we had a good DC movie like that, aside from the Batman, but that's its own thing. So,
well, I'll jump in. I saw 28 Years Later, which I am a huge fan of 28 Days. Take or leave 28 weeks, but I love how they have it set up. They have I think there's three movies coming out. Mm-hmm. So there's this one, the next one's Bone Temple. I can't remember the third one. It is set up perfectly. It has one of the endings that I'm like, I did not have this on my bingo card on how this movie ended. But the direction the direction they went with this movie was super smart. There's some absolutely creepy things in it, and they do a great job of letting the audience. They don't feed them everything. Like, you get to just sort of experience it and try to remember what happened in 28 days and 28 weeks. So they don't hold your hand. So that leaves it open to interpretation with a lot of potential going forward. And Ralph Fiennes, hands down, steals the show. Him and the kid that plays Spike, like, they're fabulous. Like, it has so much heart to it. For a movie about the infected, it blew my mind. I thought it was fabulous.
Alfie Williams played Spike.
I am glad they gave us more information on how the virus progressed, and it's just in Europe, and that's it. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. There's a quarantine zone. Everyone, spoilers, everyone around them lived on.
I didn't agree to this. What are you doing?
Well.
But again, I mean, to take it back a step, you don't technically know that. This is light spoiler, but there is a character that explains that there is more out in the world other than just on the island of the UK. But that is up to interpretation, which is going back to what I was saying, is that they do a really good job of not force feeding you the facts. You get to kind of like, what if? And I have trust in this franchise that in the next two movies that it's going to become a bigger world.
Yeah. But cinematography wise, all shot majority on an iPhone 15. There are pictures of the rigs that they used, and it was very mobile and everything, so that it looked like, that there wasn't people transversing the everywhere around them. So it looked like it was just untouched stuff.
It also made the movie feel intimate because there are scenes that the actors have the phone in their hands and they're running, or they're turning and looking at things. So it feels more organic to real conversations and real, blown away. But I mean, going back to 28 days, similar mentality. They basically did it on camcorders. And it made a style of film that people tried to replicate for years after. And I think that, I know back in the day, what was it, Cold Mountain? You know, they were like, we're going to film this and do it all on Final Cut Pro, which was like, wait a minute, how are you editing on this? It springboards to what people do next. So
yeah,
super cool. Super cool.
So yeah, 28 years later starts the trilogy that you're talking about. So the second movie will be The Bone Temple in January this coming year, and or next year technically, and then untitled third film of the trilogy will be after that. All right, Kyle, what else was you guys seeing?
I went and saw Jurassic World Rebirth, and while it's a good movie, and they've written themselves into a corner where if they wanted to end it, they could, and just never do another one. And I'm okay with that.
I was gonna say, are you for that or against that?
If they do a reboot, I want them to word for word do the book. That's how I want them to do it, but.
I'm firmly against the reboot. I'm leave that movie as it is. It's perfect.
I'm just saying, if they do the same thing,
right?
Same thing goes for Lord of the Rings. I don't want them to do it, but they'll eventually do it. But if they do the book how it's written, exactly how it's written, you don't need to do anything else. But with Jurassic World Rebirth, they can end it, and I'm okay with never having another Jurassic.
Do you feel like I like the movies. They're popcorn movies. I love the first one. Could take or leave any of the other ones. This whole newer ones, like the Chris Pratt ones and all that, I fell out of because I'm just like, all they do is keep trying to be like a new genetically modified one that's bigger and we'll eat this bigger one and just eat this bigger one. And the storyline started to just become repetitive. So I had no desire to see this. So if I have a jaded attitude like that, is it worth going to the theater? Is it one that I throw on when it's free on streaming services?
So I want to say something really quickly. There's only one movie where anything is genetically engineered to be something bigger and better than the last one. That's Jurassic World. It's the first one with Chris Pratt and Dallas, which I love to death because it brought back the music. It brought back everything. It had great two good child actors with a cool circumstance behind it. Stupid reason. You know, it's just, again, stupid people making an island of dinosaurs, not really understanding that it is going to all go wrong no matter what you do. And then, yes, the creation of this one that's bigger and badder and whatever, which was nefariously designed, meant to be a weapon by this military group, or this, I don't know if they were government, but I think they're like a independent military group that got their man on the inside to make their own. And then they make jokes about it, like, what's next, the Coca-Cola Saurus Rex, or, like, you know, brought to you by McDonald's or whatever. Like, they make jokes about it themselves. So I want to correct it there because I defend the series. I understand what you were saying, though. It does feel watered. It does feel watered down. I think for me, Jurassic Park 1, The Lost World, Jurassic World are the three movies you have to see. Enjoy the rest. The rest are there just
Tyrannosaurus Rex running through San Diego.
That's Lost World. That's the second one. That's in there. That's the second one. I love that movie. I love that movie.
I do too.
And yes, I do want the T-Rex running through San Diego. Maybe rate lower some of those prices and let him move there after he's done with his business. I liked the second two Jurassic Worlds. The third Jurassic Park, the second that raptor talks when he's dreaming, boop, I'm out of it. I'm out of the movie altogether. Also, you're going to tell me that little boy survived that long on an island of dinosaurs, and they don't tell me how he got a jar full of dinosaur piss to get away from, to hide from the come on, man. Are you got grown people just dying left and right? This kid survives? Good for him. Good for him. But where are all these crybabies talking about Daisy Ridley's Star Wars character learning how to use the Force right away, and this little kid gets dropped on a dinosaur island and survives 30 days or whatever.
Here's my two cents, so real quick, in sort of a rebuttal, is why I had fun watching the one with Chris Pratt, but I don't remember any of their names, like any of the movie names, because they're all just
Owen Grady.
Yeah. But I am one of those annoying ones that was really annoyed watching her run from a gigantic dinosaur in stilettos. I'm like, that is some Hollywood bullshit right there.
Which he makes fun of her for it too.
But it's also impossible on that ground. Like, she would have a broken ankle she is a superhero. But the second thing too, and it didn't hit me the first time I watched it, definitely hit me the second time I watched it after somebody pointed it out, is it's somebody that has seen horror movies but don't know how to write good horror movies, is you had just the assistant who was just trying to do her job, and then she just gets thrown around and eaten and like all that. They spend a lot of time torturing her for no reason. And she, like, what makes a movie good is, like, you want to see, like, the original movie. Yes, dinosaurs eat the bad guys. But this girl didn't do anything wrong. And they're like,
she's basically taking the place of the lawyer that died in the first Jurassic Park, who really didn't do anything wrong. He's actually there to try to get the park shut down because he's there for insurance reasons. She's there. Her whole thing is meant to be annoying towards young people because she's dealing with the kids. Mm-hmm. She's on the phone with her about her boyfriend and being all stuck up and blah, blah,
there's,
blah.
There's a cell phone. There's a difference is in the first one with the lawyer, it's quick. They don't drag it out for a minute and a half, watching her get thrown around by flying dinosaurs and like dropped and like her screaming. It was torture porn. And it was, I lost love for it. So back to the original thing, as somebody that has a jaded opinion of newer Jurassic Park movies, is it worth spending the money to go to the theater and see?
Yeah.
Or is it wait and pay the $9.99 to rent it when it's on video demand, or wait until it's free to stream on a service? That is kind of the how many stars ratings that I want.
Because it's a summer blockbuster, I would say pay the money, go see it in theaters.
See it on the big screen, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely worth seeing it on there. If you're jaded about it, if you're like, I don't like any of them besides Jurassic Park 1, just saying it that way, then yes, don't just wait to watch it. But honestly, there were parts of it that scared my friend that I was with. She just like grabbed a hold of my shirt, and I'm laughing at her because I don't think it's scary, but she does, and everything. And there are genetic modified dinosaurs in this new one too.
How does Scar do?
Right.
Honestly, she was fine. Everyone was fine in there. It wasn't like cinematography or anything. It wasn't like make or break this movie to be like, oh, this I've seen, haven't seen before. It was the story. It was what was laid out in the trailer for the story and everything there. They also do state in like the opening crawl where the start of this movie takes place and where the rest of the movie does. I'll just say that.
Okay, one last question on it and then we can go on. But you gave 4 stars to Superman, right?
Yep. And I can tell you exactly what I gave Jurassic World. It was 2.5.
That seems fair.
28 years. Go ahead.
The writer of Jurassic World Rebirth is the same writer that did Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
That makes sense.
The most recent mummy movie with Tom Cruise.
That makes sense.
He also wrote the first Spider-Man movie.
Oh God.
Wait, does that make sense to you too?
No, it doesn't. It makes zero sense.
But he also wrote The Last World, Jurassic Park.
See, it doesn't make any sense.
He also wrote the first Mission Impossible, which is one of the best ones.
Oh, God, no. I hate that one.
The first one?
Yeah, I don't.
The second one's the only bad one.
No.
Yeah, the second one's terrible. He also wrote with Michael Crichton the first Jurassic Park.
I think that writer's from Pewaukee.
David Koepp is the writer.
I'll look it up while you talk.
Okay.
Well, he's
from Pewaukee, and he's seven days older than me, plus a couple of about 20 years. But the director, though, is Gareth Edwards, who did my second favorite Star Wars movie, Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm excited to see it. I probably will not get a chance to see it in the theater. That's just because of me. There's no other reason. I want to see it in the theater, but I just probably won't. It's a money thing, it's a time thing, and that's about it. I love these movies. Childhood, it's all nostalgia for me. Jurassic Park is one of my top 3 movies of all time. The book is my favorite book of all time. Michael Crichton is my favorite writer of all time. So it's all right there. So I will defend it. If they did make one of the movies they talked about making, which is goes along the lines of the, you know, biologically engineering things, the one they talked about doing for Jurassic Park 3, then I'd hate it. It sounded awful. Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
Yeah, it's an awful idea.
The idea of, you can Google it, still it's out there. The idea was awful. And they took part of it for Jurassic World, and it sounds like they took part of it for this new Jurassic World too, it sounds like. But I had a feeling chronologically this new Jurassic World was not taking place in a linear fashion, is my guess. And that's what it sounds like you're saying, Kyle, without saying it. But don't agree or disagree, because that's a plot point I'd like to find out on my own. Okay, so there we go. I will say, I think torture porn was a little harsh. I don't think that was torture porn, but
yeah,
Lena Luthor survived and she went on to be on a TV show. So,
after she got digested by a gigantic
the best dinosaur ever.
After being like thrown in the air and then caught by another one, then dropped again, then
that dinosaur was trained. That dinosaur was trained by our good friend Courtney Clark.
She actually put out a TikTok recently about
she put out a TikTok the day in the life of a mosasaur trainer. Outstanding.
Yeah. Also, I will say
she's a comedian. So
in terms of good versus evil, how aside from them being, you know, them not real. They're dinosaurs. They're not going to know the difference between good and evil.
Well, yeah. So,
it's the same thing as blaming a shark for a shark attack.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't
blame Jaws for. I don't
this extra storyline. Just a world with dinosaurs that has story. It's like, why bring the military in to make new dinosaurs? And I don't
know. All right. Very quickly, because now we're out of it. We're not going to be able to do another episode this month. We have to wait 30 days because we only get so much time for free audio, and that's okay. We'll take a little bit of a break because Jen will be at San Diego Comic-Con very soon, so we'll have lots to talk about when she comes back anyways. TV shows that are on and out and already done that we're watching and binging through are things that we think you should be paying attention to right now. I'm going to make a list. You guys can say thumbs up or thumbs down if you disagree. We're not going to get too far into it right now. We'll talk more into it as the shows end because they are airing right now. Resident Alien Season 3 is on right now. I think that's probably at least two of us are watching that or have watched it. Okay, there you go. Highly recommended if you're not watching it to go ahead and get out there and watch it. Season 1 and 2 as well are on Netflix, so you can catch up on it. Stick on Apple TV. That is Owen Wilson's golf show, which if they say if you like Ted Lasso, you'll like this. Is very... It's a sports movie with heart. It's a sports show with heart. That's where the comparisons end. It's not as optimistic and positive as Ted Lasso is, but it has that heart. It's very good. Marc Maron, outstanding in this show. And they're through like 7 episodes right now. Very good so far. Highly recommend it. Also, on Apple TV, man, don't sleep on that show or on that channel, on the streaming service. A lot of good crap coming out there right now. The fire show is very good. Smoke, 3 or 4 episodes in, I think, right now. 4 episodes, very good. If you like a good true crime thing, if you like good acting, very good. If you like, what's her name? That was Black Canary in the previous version of the DCEU. Yeah. It's also very good. But what else did I have on the list?
Apple TV. Don't stop Apple TV. I know it just ended, but Murderbot.
Yep. Love Murderbot. Very good. And a movie while you're there is Watch The Gorge. That's very good. That's on Apple TV.
I agree.
Switching over to Prime really fast because there's really only one show on Prime that I'm watching, and that's Countdown, starring Jensen Ackles. Awesome show. Watch that. Very fun. Very cool. It is like a police thriller type thing. There's a conspiracy going on too. Very good stuff, very good acting, and I can't recommend it enough for anybody. And plus Jensen Ackles getting to show off what he does best, and he's acting. Lots of good performances on that show. And then Ironheart on Disney Plus is a Marvel show that just ended. Very good. I didn't dislike anything with it. I thought it was good, it was fun. There's certain things I didn't really care for. But at the end of it, they left it on a nice little cliffhanger, see where it goes from here and how it involves in the bigger scheme of things, which it's big because there's a lot of magic involved and a lot of Doctor Strange ties that potentially could happen here, which means there's a lot of Wanda ties if they are planning to bring Wanda back from the dead because she's not actually dead. She teleported away when that thing collapsed in Doctor Strange. There's a reason why there's a big red glow. Come on, guys, we're not dumb. What else? Am I forgetting anything?
I've only watched the first episode, but Revival.
Yes, that's it.
That was the main thing I wanted to bring up was Revival.
The first episode is page by page from the trade. Like it, they did such a good job of bringing the page to life.
And if you're a wrestling fan, CM Punk has a character in one of the episodes. I don't know if there's more or not, but he's in at least one.
I gotta catch Revival. Up with that one.
Steve Ogg, just cast him and everything. Love the guy.
Revival is fantastic. So go ahead and check that out.
It also feels very highbrow for sci-fi. Like, it's good production. It's the acting's cool. Like, it's thumbs up.
It's not your typical, like, bargain basement sci-fi TV show where they're kind of getting by on their CGI and stuff like that. They don't need it. But, it's very, very good. It's along the lines of, like, Resident Alien quality storytelling and acting. And Resident Alien is also based on a comic book or trade, so that works in that realm, too. All right, we're going to wrap things up there. If there are any shows that you think we should be watching or we should check out or binge, hit us up. I am watching an anime on Netflix because there's only 2 seasons of it so far. So I'm checking out Dan to Dan on Netflix, I believe is how you say it. The theme song is very fun. I can only listen to it once because it's about 18 minutes long, but it is very good. it's fun anime so far. I'm enjoying it. It's supernatural stuff, and I like it, so it's good. Real quickly, one thing I'm going to say, because I did mention I want to talk about music real quick. They're already blowing up, but I can't not listen to Sleep Theory right now. It's on repeat for me. Their whole album is fantastic. I really love it. I'm recommending it to anybody that likes Linkin Park. Sleep Theory is, don't sleep on it. It's more R&B than rap mixed in with rock. He's got a very soulful voice. And I'm not saying that because he's black. He very much does sound like, there are parts of that song that could be sung by the Boyz II Men guys. Like, he's very, very, very soulful voice. And then there's good screaming and metal riffs and all kinds of fun stuff for everybody else. So check that out if you're a fan of that genre of rock and roll. One song or band, anybody?
President.
God damn it.
it's come up twice now on my list.
If you like your masked metal, you can listen to President.
They only have 2 songs out right now. I haven't really looked in to see when their album is coming out, but if it's anything like those 2 songs, I'm really gonna enjoy the album.
I believe I like the second one more than the first one.
In the Name of the Father, I think it is called.
In the Name of is a Rage Against Machine song, but I don't know the name.
I'm in a music rut, so all my stuff I've been listening on came out like in the last year. I've been listening, just because of the state of the world, I've been listening to a lot of idols lately. Danny Nedelko has been played multiple times in the last few weeks.
I thought you were going to say Charlie. I thought you were going to say Charlie XCX or whatever that name is, or Chapel Roan.
Oh, I will always take Chapel Roan. Like,
I know. Really, I figured you would. Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of Jungle, but they don't have anything new out either. If you're not listening to Jungle, you do not know how to dance and you don't know how to have fun.
I don't know how to dance, so you are correct about half of that.
Yeah.
I used to know how to have fun. It's all gone now. It's all slipped away with my age. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. We will do better at managing time next time. It was hard. We all are very excited about the topic, so we wanted to get as much talking in as we could about Superman 2025, we'll call it. Superman 2025.
Like it.
You can find us on social media at Atomic Geekdom on all the things, including TikTok. There is one up from the last episode. And I just burped on air. Enjoy that. It tasted gross. At Atomic Geekdom, all the things. You'll find Jenny reporting from San Diego Comic-Con in a couple weeks. 2 weeks, right?
Yes. 1 week from Wednesday.
I will be serving jury duty while Jenny is in San Diego. Does that sound fair to you guys? Does it sound fair that I have to do jury duty again? I feel like I just did it. Guys, it's not fun. It's warm in the courtroom. And then you're never chosen for a good case. Anyway. Kyle, plug your stupid podcast.
You just hate it because you haven't been on there. Oh, Lanterns TV Talk.
You know what time is a good time to bring me on? Now.
You know what? I will bring it up when we have another
episode. Yeah, just
Lanterns TV Talk, wherever you can find socials. You can also follow me on Instagram at KyleCrowsey89.
Just, throw it up the flagpole. See if he salutes. I don't really care if I'm not under. It doesn't matter. I better be on at least for one episode of Lanterns. All right. Jen, anything you want to say other than you'll be in San Diego doing the work? By doing the work, I mean walking around, eating good food, drinking lots of alcohol, and partying at night.
Probably, mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit of all of that. Definitely networking this year, trying to get some more contacts. I can't promise, but I'm going to try to brave the Hall H line to get in for Project Hail Mary. Throw back to our Andy Weir days, but very excited about that trailer.
We should try to get him back on to talk about the movie.
Absolutely. And then...
Producer, write that down.
Between Matt and I, things to look forward to is there are a ton of really good books coming out in August, September, October, November, December. We've got a stack that we're reading, but so far, a lot of hits, a lot of really good ones. Super excited for what's coming out by Christopher Golden. So I'm giddy to get those reviews up once the books launch. So yeah, I feel like follow the reading.
Christopher Golden was a writer for Buffy books for a while.
Yeah.
I want to say. Is that the same one?
He writes fabulous, fabulous horror books. There's a couple reviews up on our site, one for Road of Bones. And one I highly recommend for an October read is All Hallows. It's a wonderful Halloween, scary as shit type story. Also, I think it just came out is The Nightbirds. And then the one that I'm currently reading that comes out early fall is The House of Last Resort, which within two chapters in, you're already like skin crawling, like creepy. He does a great job of building his characters and making you look behind you.
Yes, he wrote, and I'm sorry, I heard everything you said, but I want to double check it. He wrote a lot of Buffy books, and he co-wrote with Nancy Holder the Gatekeeper trilogy, which is three books that were set during like season two or three of Buffy. It's a story that's told behind like the episodes. It's so fucking good. Like, I loved all three books. Like, I own them on paperback. I had to track them down on Amazon to find them. Or maybe I own one of them. I'm still trying to find the other two. One of that situation. But so good. Very good writer. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So yeah, good things coming up on the book club side too. Matt's got a handful as well of continuing series of a series that he had already interviewed author on. So this is the second book that he is giddy about. So yeah, you'll be seeing some stuff come on that.
Very cool. All right. Well, we will be back very soon. Apologies. It might be a little longer than the normal 2 weeks I think it's been. So just stay tuned on social medias. We'll let you know when a new episode drops, and then also it'll just automatically pop up in your podcast catcher, whether that's Apple Podcasts or wherever you find Spotify, whatever, we're there. You'll find us. So until then, we will see you very soon, and be kind to each other. More importantly, kind to yourself. Give yourself a break, and do something nice for yourself. You don't have to spend money. Just take a minute, go outside, get some fresh air, play a video game, take some time for yourself, go to bed early, stay up late, whatever you get joy out of, do that.
And for all the right, extroverts, reach out to people that you know, check in on them.
There you go. And if you're an introvert, call one person. It's going to be okay.
Introverts call the extroverts.
It's going to be okay. One person. You can do it. 5, maybe 10 minutes. You can do it. Call your mother. She worries. Okay. All right. That's it. Sorry, Kyle. All right. That'll be it for the rest of my day. I'm going to go cry. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, and thanks for my hosts for joining me. They're now welcome to resume their Sundays. All right. See you guys.
Goodbye.